Acts chapter 17. You know, this morning as we looked at the context of the Father, you know, we cry to Him, Abba Father. He's not a monster. He's not trying to crush us. He's not looking. You ever been around somebody who was looking for a chance, watching to see when you're going to mess up? A gotcha moment. And God is not, that's not what God does, okay? Now, who does that? Satan does that. Bible says he is accusing us. He's the accuser. He goes before God and accuses us. And yet it's not God that's accusing, but Satan that's accusing. God is, I mean, He's our Father, our loving Father. And so it's, and He teaches us so much through what we experience, if we'll just be conscious of it, of how as parents, you know, or as you dealing with your parents, and we can see the contrast and the differences, but He teaches us so much. And sometimes we read something in the Scripture and our understanding grows. It develops. I'm sure there are things. I've been pastoring, been preaching for 29 years, right? So I've been preaching that long. And I'm sure that if I were to listen, or if you were to listen to messages early in my ministry, that I've learned so much since then and grown so much since then. And you only do that by studying. We only do that by the personal time with God in His Word. That's so important. Yes, we can learn it by listening to others teach us, but there's nothing, no exchange for personal experience and applying God's principles and standards and His Word in our lives. And I come to Acts chapter 17, and there's a text here that I've read and preached, and I've always probably said about the same thing. But as I read it this week, I saw something different. And God, it didn't change. It's the same Bible. It's the same words. It didn't change. But God gave me the opportunity to just look at it from a different angle. And it's so important that we'll let God show us new things in the preserved Word of God. But in verse number 16, let's begin there. While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Now, we need, especially today, in our current environment, we need our spirit stirred. We need revival. I know that there are some that are weary, and so we say, well, first we need rest. Okay, I'll give you that. We need rest. But we need a refreshing. We need that fire. We need that anointing from God. We need revival. We need our spirit stirred up. Did it say that Paul got it by going to church? No. Did he get it by listening to preaching? No. Did he get it by going in the prayer closet? No. When did he get it? By observing the world. Not by looking at the church, but by looking at the world. Guys, if we look at the world today, wouldn't we agree that this world needs Jesus? Yes, they need Jesus. And where are they going to get Jesus? They're going to get it from the church. If they're going to hear it, we're the ones that are going to tell it. And if we don't, they won't. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How can they hear without a preacher? Isn't that what the Bible says? Yes, that's exactly what it says. And so they need a preacher. They need preachers. They need missionaries. I don't mean pastors. I mean Christians. We have got to share the Word of God. And Paul sat there and he observed. He took it all in. He watched what they were doing. And he just sat there quietly. I'm sure he was praying. But the Bible says his spirit got stirred up. And he says something's got to be done. How many of you would agree something's got to be done? Yeah, it does. Something's got to be done. So what? What needs to be done? What did Paul determine needed to be done? Verse 17. He said he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews, with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Now, I don't encourage you to go into a mosque or a synagogue today and dispute with them there. But you know, probably Muslims, Jews, non-Christians, even atheists, agnostics, stoics, whatever you want to say, you know people, even religious people, even church people that don't have salvation. They don't have Jesus, they have religion. And something's got to be done about that too. Look, you can go to hell with all kinds of denominations attached and all kinds of degrees attached. You can only go to heaven with Jesus attached. And so they've got to know Christ. And we know how to know Christ. Don't raise your hand, but just consider this. Do you know that you are saved? Or do you think you are saved? If you know you are saved, you know the difference. You know that you've prayed and said, God, I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I'm asking you, God, forgive my sins. I turn from myself. I turn to you. I give myself to you and ask you to save my soul. You prayed a prayer like that. And God saved you. And you know you're saved. And you know your sins are washed away. Maybe you've even gone to the waters of baptism. And you buried the old you. And you've come up resurrected from the waters to live a new life in Christ. Maybe you could say, yes, that's the case. So you know that you're saved. You know that you belong to God. But there are people out there that don't. So you are the answer. We have the answer. We have the solution. We have what they need. The world needs something. And Paul said, I've got to go do it. I've got to go dispute with them. I've got to go share with them. Now, you don't have to be ugly in your sharing, do you? How many of you ever won somebody Jesus by being ugly? Hateful, mean. That usually doesn't work. Now, with some, it may. You know, even Jude said, some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Some, they're only going to understand. You can go to somebody and say, Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. God wants you to have a relationship with him. And they'll say, how can I do that? And they'll pray and get saved. But with others, you've got to convince them of their sin. With others, you've got to convince them of hell. With others, you've got to convince them that there's a punishment, there's a judgment day, and that they're going to be standing on the wrong side. And so the Bible tells us that we have to use the right method to reach people. And sometimes it's not the same method, but by the way, it's always the same gospel. It's always the same Jesus. There's only one way to heaven, only one way to be saved. And so it says in verse 18, certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods. Why? Because he preached those two things that we preached last week. He preached those two things that the Easter season is all about. He preached Jesus and the resurrection. Well, listen, if Jesus got crucified, I mean, we know that he was a sacrifice for our sins. But that wasn't enough for God. They put him in a tomb, and so he was buried, just like he said he would be, 3 days and three nights. But that wasn't enough for God. On Sunday morning, the stone was rolled away, and he was alive again. They knew he was dead. There was no doubt he had died, but on Sunday morning, he rose from the grave. And that's something that we preach, and there's no doubt that some would call us babblers, and some would say it's a strange doctrine because we preach Jesus and the resurrection. That's our message. And that will never change. Verse 19. Well, though they said it was a strange religion, a curious, strange gods, they said, they were curious and they desired to hear more. They didn't run them off. They didn't say, oh, that's too weird for us. That's too outside the box. They still were interested in hearing what he had to say. And so they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. Was it new? It was new to them. It would be new to a lot of people today. Isn't it sad to think that people sat in churches this morning, church houses, maybe had stained glass and a cross hanging on the wall, maybe sung some song just like we did. And then the preacher got up there, or the preacheress, and talked about anything but the gospel. Talked about all kinds of things except Jesus. Wouldn't it be sad to know that there were people sitting in this auditorium that came in here with a hope for something that they didn't have and they left without it because we didn't offer it to them? That'd be tragic. By the way, it wouldn't only be tragic. I'd stand before God for that. God would say, I sent you somebody and you didn't give them what I sent them there for. And that's what we're looking at tonight. They desired to hear it. They wanted to hear it. Verse 20, thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. Go down to verse number 22. So Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. What does that mean? Well, have any of you ever practiced superstition? Throwing salt over your shoulder? Broke a mirror and said, oh no, 7 years bad luck. Saw a black cat cross the road, turned around and went a different way. What else? Knock on wood. All these things that we hear. Instead of walking under a ladder, somebody walked under a ladder. Oh no, you shouldn't have done that. All these imaginary penalties that we've come up with. That's superstition. Step on a crack, break your mama's back. So you're walking the sidewalk, jumping over the cracks, depending on how well you like your mama, right? Superstition. Superstition. Standing in jeopardy every hour that I might do something right now that's going to harm me. That I might do something that by some accidental effect, my life is going to be negatively impacted. That's superstition. There are a lot of religious people sit in churches in this country every Sunday that are too superstitious. Pass by an idol and they got to stop and bow to it. I knew some people many years ago, because they called themselves Baptists, preached the Baptist gospel. We were together on a tour in South Korea, and it was a Buddhist temple. It was a tour. We were just touring it. But he said, oh, we got to give money. We got to give money. We came in here, you know, we got to give money. And they'll pray for us. What good will it do for a Buddhist to pray for you when they're not praying to God? What good would it do? And I've been to the hospital to visit somebody, and they named off all these different, I don't mean Christian denominations, I mean different religions. And they said, I get this one praying for me, that one praying for me, that one praying for me. And I said, well, it just doesn't matter. As long as you pray, I could use the prayers. I got news for you. The only ones that matter are the ones that go to a God. Not to some idol, not to some false God. Only the ones that go to the God. And so that's what prayer is. Everything else is just wishing. So, Paul says, I perceive, just by paying attention, just by watching you, my perception is you're too superstitious. As I passed by, verse 23, I beheld your devotions, little statues, little idols, different places, and maybe there'd be flowers or maybe even food or offerings, money or candles. We've seen it. And they might stop and pray in front of each one. And they'll go to the next one and pray in front of that one. You know, if you go to the store, you can buy a candle. And if you light that candle, you can sell your house. If you bury this in your front yard, you know, you'll get money. All these too superstitious. And Paul said, as I was observing, I found an altar, this is in verse 23, with this inscription, to the unknown God. I've always looked at that as Paul saying, you don't know him, and I'm here to tell you about him. Something hit me as I studied that this week. They were looking for him. They wanted to know him. They knew in all that they did, it wasn't enough. There was still an emptiness. There was still a longing. They were missing something. And they said, look at all these different gods and all these different devotions. And they said, but you know what? This is not it. There's still something beyond all this. And we need that. We're missing that. We don't know what it is. But we can't overlook calling out to him, whoever he is. with our prayers. Wow. They had so many superstitious fears and curiosities, but something said there was something more. There was something missing. And so they prayed and paid tribute to the unknown God. God heard their prayers. Isn't that incredible? Do you remember what got Paul where he is? Do you understand that through all the troubles and the places he'd go and they'd run him off and they tried to, we read it last week, Wednesday night, they stoned him. They had to let him down from a basket out of a town because they said, we're going to kill him. They let him over the wall in a basket. He was running for his life. The Christians were afraid of him in the beginning. And yet all of those travels, all of those struggles brought him to the place where God needed him. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that make you want to shout? It got him where God needed him. They were looking, they were hoping, they were wondering, they were seeking fulfillment, they were looking for answers they did not have. Answers to life and purpose. Paul's trials were not accidental. His struggles and his travels were not of his own choosing. They were God's direction to get him where he could be used, to get him where he was needed. So that through his struggles and through his travels, he might be able to minister to these. Verse number 24. Paul tells them, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed. Isn't that incredible? God's got a calendar. He's got some dates on there. And the bounds of their habitation. It's always amazing to me to see in God's handiwork how the waters come together, fresh and salt water, and don't mix. Now you say, well, Pastor, there are places where it does mix. I know. I know about those waters too, brackish water. But there are places where it doesn't mix. Why? Because God said, that's the line right there. Isn't that incredible? God already has all this figured out. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him. And I love this part. Though he be not far from every one of us. You see, they were looking for someone who was right there. But they didn't know how to make the connection. God was there all the time. Those friends and co-workers and neighbors that we have that don't have Jesus in their hearts, he's there. They just don't know how to communicate with him. Isn't that incredible? If they just knew how to communicate, they could receive him as Savior. And so then comes a Christian and says, I talk to him every day. I talk to God on a regular basis. In fact, through his Holy Spirit, I know his voice. I know his will. I know his direction in my life, his calling on my life. Let me show you how to be saved. Let me show you how to talk to God. And then they can be saved. Because they understand now how to reach him, because he's not very far from every one of us. Verse 28, in him we live and move and have our beings. As certain also of your own poets have said. You see, Paul's quoting their philosophers. In him we live and move and have our being. Their own people said that. God is not in a faraway land. God is near. God is here. We can reach out through prayer and talk to him. We can sense His presence, feel His presence in our lives. And yet, so many take up causes that make them feel moral. Don't you see that all around? Well, we're going to save the whales. I'm not against whales. Let's save them all. I'm not against the owls and the whatever. Gopher, tortoises, whatever. I don't care. But saving the whales does not make you moral. Saving the animals that are abused does not make you moral. It will not get you to heaven. I'm for all of it. But you need Jesus. And so you take up some victim cause and you say, well, we need to defend this group or that group. Fine, defend them. I'm not against that. But that morality is not going to get you to heaven. If you think filling your cell, your time with energy toward others is going to get you to heaven, it's not a bad thing to help others, but it's not the solution to your sin. There is one solution: to forgive our sins, to wash away our sins, to make us worthy, not of our righteousness, but of His, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. You've got to do that. And all the things and energy and time that we put ourselves into and our fortunes into to bring about change, forever seeking to justify ourselves to ourselves. In other words, to at some point say, I'm good enough. And the truth is, when we put our trust in Christ, we understand something. We're not good enough, but He loves us enough. By His mercy, He overlooks, He forgives, He washes away our sins and our failures. And He fills that empty hole in our souls just like He would theirs. They want to know God, but they need us to take the time to clearly explain the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, in all of their efforts, in their lives, they might as well have a little statue, a faceless, bodiless statue with the inscription to the unknown God, who they want to know. They do everything to get to know Him, except they need us to explain it. How many people need that? We better get to work. Let's stand. And let us allow our trials, as Paul did, to move us where we need to be, where they are looking for Him. God, we love You. We love Your word. And God, this is just connecting on such a different level tonight. We always read that part. Paul said, you do ignorantly worship Him. But we understand now they were looking for You because there was an emptiness that they've been trying to fill. God, show us somebody this week, each of us, somebody today. Somebody tomorrow, somebody each day, where we can show them how to reach the God they don't know and show them the way of salvation. Lord, forgive our sins. Dismiss us with Your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.